Chapter 9. After he had left a message at the police station, the chief constable said he was going to visit Miss Marple.
"Please, can you come with me, Vicar?" he said. "I don't want to frighten her." I smiled. Miss Marple is as strong as any chief constable. We rang the bell and were shown by a maid into the sitting room. When I had introduced Colonel Melchett to Miss Marple, he said,
"I want to talk to you about Colonel Protheroe's death.
Your house is next door to the vicarage, so perhaps you saw something that would help us."
"In fact, I was in my garden from 5 o'clock onwards yesterday, and from there, well, I can see everything that is happening next door."
"I believe that Mrs. Protheroe passed by your garden yesterday evening."
"Yes, at just after 6:15. She said she was meeting her husband at the vicarage. She went in by the back gate."
"And she went inside the vicarage?" Melchett asked.
"Yes, but I suppose Colonel Protheroe wasn't there yet, because she came back almost immediately and walked down to the studio."
"I see. And you didn't hear a shot?"
"I didn't hear a shot then," said Miss Marple.
"But you did hear one?"
"Yes. I think there was a shot somewhere in the woods, 5 or 10 minutes afterwards. Oh, could it have been..."
She stopped, pale with excitement.
"So Mrs. Protheroe went down to the studio," said Colonel Melchett.
"Yes. Then Mr. Redding came to the vicarage gate, looked all round..."
"And saw you, Miss Marple?"
"No, because I was bending down. He went down to the studio. Mrs. Protheroe came to the door, and they both went inside."
"And they came out when?" Colonel Melchett asked.
"About 10 minutes later. And Dr. Stone came down the path from Old Hall, so they all walked towards the village together. At the end of the road, I think they were joined by Miss Cram. It must have been Miss Cram, because her skirt was so short."
"Well then," said Colonel Melchett, "did you also see Mrs. Protheroe's and Mr. Redding's expressions as they walked along the road?"
"They were smiling and talking," said Miss Marple. "They seemed very happy."
"Strange," said the Colonel. Then Miss Marple gave us both a shock as she said,
"Has Mrs. Protheroe confessed to the crime now?"
"Well," said the Colonel, "how did you guess that?"
"Well, I thought she might," said Miss Marple. "I think Lettice thought so too. She's really a very clever girl. So, Anne Protheroe says she killed her husband. Well, I'm almost sure that isn't true. When does she say she shot him?"
"At 6:20, just after speaking to you."
"What did she shoot him with?"
"A pistol."
"Where did she find it?"
"She brought it with her."
"No," said Miss Marple. "She had no gun with her."
"It might have been in her handbag."
"She wasn't carrying a handbag."
"But it all fits together," Melchett said. "The time, the overturned clock pointing to 6:22.
"No,"
I interrupted, and I told him about the clock. Melchett was annoyed. "Why didn't you tell Slack this last night?"
"Because he wouldn't let me."
"Nonsense. And if a third person claims to have done this murder, I shall go mad.
Colonel Melchett, Miss Marple said, why don't you tell Mr. Redding what Mrs. Prothero has done and explain that you don't believe her? And then tell Mrs. Prothero that Mr. Redding is innocent. Well, then they might both tell you the truth.
But they are the only two people who had a reason for killing Prothero.
Oh, do you really think so?
Well, can you think of anyone else?
Oh, yes, said Miss Marple.
She counted her fingers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, and a possible 7. I can think of at least 7 people who might be very happy to have Colonel Prothero dead.
7 people? In St. Mary Mead? Melchett said. Miss Marple nodded brightly.
There is a lot of wickedness in the world. A good soldier like you doesn't know about these things.
I thought the chief constable was going to explode with anger.